Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. You know, that or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Ah! Employed?
You like sex, Mr. Lebowski.
Is this your only ID?
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski.
Jeff Lebowski, the other Lebowski, the millionaire.
I received this ransom note this morning.
This is the bummer, man.
They want you to take the money and act as courier.
What do you mean, man?
What the hell is this?
My dirty undies, dude. The whites.
Let's take that hell!
Why should we settle for 20 grand when we can keep the entire million?
I know you're mixed up in all this.
Playing one side against the other in bed with everybody.
Blow them.
Huh?
Fabulous stuff.
What?
Who's sitting on $1 million?
We want the money.
Ah! Sitting in the trunk of our car.
Where's my damn money?
Say, dude, where is your car?
Who's got your undies, Walter?
This is a very complicated case, Maude. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
Is this your homework, Larry?
And I would like my undies back.
A lot of strands to keep in my head, man.
Whoa! Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here, huh?
I like your style, dude.
I have no choice but to tell these bums to do whatever is necessary to recover their money from you.
They were Nazis, dude?
They were nihilists, man. They kept saying they believed in nothing. You figured, oh, here's a loser, you know, a deadbeat.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
You cannot drag this negative energy into the tournament.
Jeffrey.
Bond.
Love me.
That's my robe.
I'm throwing rocks tonight.
It don't matter to Jesus.
This could be a lot more a complex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome back to another year of beautiful traditions with fine movies, fine spirits. As today, we travel back to the year 1998 to talk about one of the most classic of cult classics, The Big Lebowski, a movie that reminded me just how much fun bowling is. But as I'm ready with a nice cold beverage in my hand, I'm not here alone. No, no, no. First up is a man, well, he's not Mr. Corsetto. His dad is Mr. Corsetto. He's the Dave. So that's what you call him, you know, that or his Daveness or Daver or Daverino. If you're not into the whole brevity thing, the Dave. How are you doing this evening and what are you drinking?
I just told you I felt like shit. How much well, I had to tell.
And what are you drinking or eating?
Almost at the moment because I'm not drinking right now.
The Dave abides. The Dave
you
abides.
Just fake
I,
it.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in knowing that. It's good knowing he's out there, the Dave, making it easy for all us sinners and ruining every intro of every episode. Next up is a man who wouldn't allow us to do this recording on Saturday because it is the Sabbath, which he's allowed to podcast only in a matter of life and death. He's not wrong. He's just an asshole. Mr. Christopher Mars, how are you? And are you drinking the correct drink?
I am drinking. Hold on a sec. You see this?
I see that.
Hold on. Hold on. It's going to be alive, you know. Okay. Just see
we
a little.
We see some liquid getting poured into some other liquid. We see some coffee creamer. Get it all over your beard and mustache, even though you don't have one.
Caucasian. I'm drinking a Caucasian, a white Russian made live on the show.
Interesting. I'm also drinking a Caucasian, a white Russian, mixed in some factory and put in a can that I bought an hour ago.
What?
That's right. I don't have all the accoutrements to purchase the white Russian, so I bought it pre-made
Do you appreciate White Russians? Like, I feel like my brother loves White Russians.
I love the taste of coffee, and it just has that coffee ice cream taste. So, I, you know.
It really is pretty good. I haven't had one in 20 years, but, you know, you look like the dude if you
do, right. And also, to me, it makes me think of a drink that's like the first drink people have when they start drinking. Like, oh, I'm having a White Russian, like a rookie kind of drink, even though I'm a rookie still.
I mean, the dude is no rookie, but.
So,
yes,
the Big Lebowski. I remember seeing this for the first time right when it came out on home media. I think I rented it. And I would have to say that I saw it for the second time yesterday. And that's another movie where I've deprived myself of years and years of just
brilliance,
incredible, like just the script, just the dialogue.
Dave, first of all, you had never seen it. No. Until when?
Probably about a month ago. A
couple of weeks ago?
No, about a month ago.
And you just came across it, or?
You told me to watch it.
I didn't remember that. I mean, I tell you to watch most of the good movies you watch. I tell you to watch. So it just and you loved it, right?
Loved it.
So
it's actually you can tell it's a Coen movie. I actually now have watched many Coen movies, and this is like a typical Coen movie, but so smart. The dialogue's fantastic. It flows. Yep. The characters are unbelievable.
They really are.
Walter steals the show in this movie.
Even one of the all-time
dude is great. Yep. Walter's the best.
Like, so I keep saying. So I first saw it when, like many movies, in the basement of Cox Lane. I didn't watch it in the movies. I had seen. I saw Blood Simple, you know, their first movie, and I did see Fargo. Obviously, I ended up watching Fargo with the kids last week, which they actually thoroughly enjoyed. I showed them this trailer. I don't think they got it. I don't think they were interested in all of it, watching it. You know, obviously you've never seen, you know, you've never seen such a movie that it's such an odd movie, right?
Yes.
Like with the dream sequences, with the great music, but just like Dave said, this movie is about a rug, which we'll get into. But
it really is. It did remind me of like Miller's Crossing, a movie that, well, I thought was going to be very dark and serious, where it was kind of hyper realistic, quirky.
Yes. A little funny. There was a lot of that. You know, but obviously a through line more serious than this. But you never see, so Jeff Bridges, you look at him differently after this, you know?
Yeah.
I keep saying this. Walter is, you know, Goodman's best performance, I think. Walter is one of the funniest characters of all time. And yet somehow I crack up more, even if that's possible, at the dude. At just his delivery, his timing, his delivery, like even right out of the gate when they show up at his house and the guy's shoving his head in the toilet and he says, "Where is it, Lebowski? Where is it?" And he goes, I think I need to take another look.
Yeah, I think it's in the toilet.
Like that, just crazy shit like that. And then also, you know, the same type of delivery when the cop said, "I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like you, Lebowski." And then he's like, "Sorry, I wasn't listening."
Right. He's a burnout. He's like an ex hippie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And his best friend is an ex, you know, Vietnam, like the exact opposite of like where they probably would have been 20 years ago.
And then you forget about Doug, poor Doug.
Donnie?
You talking about Donnie?
Donnie. Yeah.
Duck.
What the fuck?
Yes, Donnie. He cracks me up, but obviously Walter's interaction with him is the best.
It's like a bullying older brother. Completely, yeah. But as you said in the text, like there's that one moment where he's like, you know, don't worry.
Even the moment when his first reaction, one of my favorite scenes, I'll get into a couple of my favorite scenes, is when the Shabbos, you know, when he rants about his religion.
How come you don't roll on Saturday, Walter?
I'm Shomer Shabbos.
What's that, Walter?
Yeah, and in the meantime, what do I tell Lebowski?
Saturday, Donnie, is Shabbos, the Jewish day of rest. That means I don't work. I don't drive a car. I don't fucking ride in a car. I don't handle money. I don't turn on the oven. And I sure as shit don't fucking roll!
Sheesh.
Shomer Shabbos!
So Donnie just tells him the tournament's been set, right? Tournament's been set.
Right. And that's where his focus goes back and forth so much.
But he says, Donnie comes over and says, the tournament's been set. And he says, shut the fuck. And then he goes, oh, really, Donnie? When is it? Like he just, his fallback is
his natural. His first up. Thought is.
And then he's like, it's Saturday. Well, they get out, and then he's like, whatever jerk off. I love how he says, whatever jerk off schedule this. And then he goes, who scheduled it? And then he tells him his name and he goes, tell that fucking kraut, tell that dumb kraut. He has to get in, whatever epitaph.
I'm sorry, John Goodman. I mean, he'd done movies. He was in Revenge of the Nerds. I don't know what else he was in that much before this, because I know Roseanne. Obviously, he was most known for Roseanne, Fred Flintstone. But
he was in JFK. He's in a lot of movies. He was a lot That's of characters.
Yeah,
he was in JFK. But was he in JFK?
I don't.
Yeah.
John Candy was in JFK.
Yeah, I don't remember John Goodman being JFK.
However,
confusing fact.
Was that Doug? Yes. He played Doug in JFK.
But I was actually listening to another movie podcast this week, and they're talking about John Goodman, the fact that he is pretty much never been bad in any movie he's been in. Like, and I agree.
Except I've never seen the King, the King Ralph or something. I forget or doesn't he play Babe Ruth in a movie or something? But he is fantastic in every Coen. You guys, neither of you have seen Inside Llewyn Davis, where his character
he's in that
is,
too.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I love that they have Barton this Fink. Like this set group of their players Totoro, that they bring Buscemi. Back all the time.
So do you guys know that like religions were started over this movie?
Many of the world's great religions began when average men had extraordinary visions. Well, the Church of the Latter-day Dude began when a guy named Oliver got drunk at a cafe in Thailand with some buddies and had a vision of a movie called The Big Lebowski. In that cult classic, he found an unlikely savior in Jeff Bridges' character, The Dude, and he found a philosophy that now has, get this, hundreds of thousands of followers, including a few we met on my afternoon with the Dudley Lama.
If your parents raised you right, then you have a healthy suspicion of guys who wear bathrobes in public.
Have you heard of Dudism? Dudism is a communicable form of ease. Our ethos is basically to try to get people to just take it easy, man.
Especially the ones who start their own religions. But what if this guy actually stumbled into a better way of living? What if the robe is a real key to inner peace? Who would possibly believe him?
Dudism.
I've heard, I mean, that's why I knew this was such a huge classic, like cult movie.
So, yes, it's one of the biggest cult movies, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is great. So Dave mentioned the plot to us, about the rug. But the plot really is... well, first of all, I love the different genres. You know what I mean? You have the narrator, the Western, and you see the tumbleweed, in the opening.
Yeah, going through LA.
And then it's like a crime noir, a California, Raymond Chandler. So I think I always thought The Big Lebowski was just titled after The Other Lebowski. I think it's supposed to be, I heard this from somebody else. I think it's supposed to be like The Big Sleep, which is a Raymond Chandler thing, but it's like just saying The Big Sleep, The Big Lebowski, because of the name.
Right. Because that guy doesn't refer to himself as The Big Lebowski.
Right.
The dude calls him that once because he thinks of him as, a big, maybe literally big, even though Walter, doesn't believe he's really in a wheelchair.
Which is great. So
does it? But does Elliot do a masterful job of just narrating the movie?
Way out west, there was this fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of Jeff Lebowski. At least that was the handle his loving parents gave him. And he never had much use for it himself. This Lebowski, he called himself the Dude. Now, Dude, that's a name no one would self-apply where I come from. But then there was a lot about the Dude that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And a lot about where he lived, likewise. But then again, maybe that's why I found the place so darn interesting.
Oh, his voice is incredible.
He does. I love him, and I love him summing it up at the end, and I love his attitude, and I love the scene where obviously he says, do you have to do all that cussing? And, you know, the dude looks at him, he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But just his voice, his manner.
His voice is incredible.
It's great. It's perfect.
It's such a voice, and the movie is really so chill.
It is crazy, though, but you see... You know, it is like characters of different movies too. Like Walter's like a Vietnam vet, and you know, like I said, the dude is an unlikely, you know, private detective. What's the other guy calling the Seamus fellow? He's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He calls him.
He's like, Irish. He goes, yeah,
right, Irish monk.
Yes. Yeah. And John Polito from Miller's Crossing, which we did.
Because he said, "I'm your brother. I'm your Seamus brother." He goes, "You're an Irish monk or something." Yeah. Yes. I like seeing that guy again. That was cool.
So this is what it's about. So it's about having beliefs, right? So Walter's obviously big with these beliefs. You know, he's the religion. He even thinks the Nazis at least they have an ethos. He says at least they have a belief when he's talking about the nihilists who have no belief. And, you know, just these different beliefs. And the dude doesn't have any belief. He just
floats.
He abides. The dude abides.
Take care, man. Got to get back.
Sure. Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well. The dude abides.
The dude abides.
That's all he does, and that's he really is.
He's a human.
He really is. He is the human tumbleweed.
Human tumbleweed, yeah.
But it's funny because he tries to, take on. So he's always misquoting, misusing, just hearing things that he, you know, this war, this aggression will not stand, man. And he says, he misquotes, what's it, Maud? Is it? I think it's Maud Lebowski, the daughter. When she says the parlance of our time, you know, talking about China, and then he totally missed. He says something about the parlance of our times, and he just misquotes and repeats everything he hears. And so everybody turns out to be full of shit, you know, everybody's full of shit. Even, you know, Walter, even at the end, you know, he cowers to him at the end, that great scene with Donnie's ashes. It's the only time you see Walter, like, and he's like,
a little bit of a
kills me.
Yeah.
Just cracks me up when he's like, you fucking asshole.
Oh shit, dude. I'm sorry. Goddamn wind.
God damn it, Walter. You fucking asshole.
Dude, I'm sorry.
It's a fucking travesty with you, man.
Dude, I'm sorry. It was an accident.
What was that shit about Vietnam?
Dude, I'm sorry.
What the fuck does anything have to do with Vietnam?
Dude, I'm
what
sorry.
The fuck are you talking about?
Dude, I'm sorry.
He's like,
just
he
his
goes,
reaction.
Everything with you, the, everything with you is a fiasco.
When the ashes just cover his face.
Do you not see that? Like, that's how, like that's how we act with our friends.
Yeah. It did remind me of that. Of like, I swear, just the yelling, getting so angry.
Right,
it's
the
like,
dude.
I'll see you
for his dudeness. But his dudeness, he's always getting so animated. You know, with what the fuck are you talking about? They're gonna kill that poor girl, and that's when he's going off on the Shabbos, which is, you know, maybe one of my favorite scenes. Most of my favorite scenes do have Walter. I love the. Well, Mikey, do you want to go?
Yeah, let me go through some
first.
Of the basics from 1998. It is credited as written and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen, and directed by Ethan, I think. Either way, they both directed it. One was
That's
uncredited.
Usually how it does.
I think at the time it might have been like a Directors Guild type thing where one name gets put, because one was the name of the producer, one was named the director. It is starring Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Julianne Moore, Steve Buscemi, David Huddleston, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who was awesome, who I thought he looked like he could have been the Big Lebowski's son. Also yeah. Tara Reid, and featuring Tara. John Turturro, who I thought was in this a lot more than he was, as Jesus, or the Jesus, who seemed to like this role so much that he went on years later to write and direct his own spinoff movie that I'll never see.
Yeah, I heard bad things. Yeah. It was supposed to be about something else. It was based on some other movie, which is crazy.
Oh, really?
And supposedly he was wrongly accused of
he's clearing the name of being a...
He's a pederast. What's a pederast? Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
This has a Rotten Tomato score of only 80% with the critics.
Yeah.
93% with the audience. It has a cinema score of B. And it wasn't a hit really in the theater. On a $15 million budget, it made $19 million is what I'm seeing, and $48 million globally. So, I mean, it made money, but I'm surprised it was not nominated for anything. Not even acting.
Yeah, I mean,
nothing.
It had great set design too. Right. Yeah,
right. It just had this, right, that it felt like those dream sequences were incredible.
They were. And they,
yeah, no Academy Awards, so no Golden Globes. And yeah, that is the Big Lebowski. We all already mentioned when we first saw it.
Yeah. So I forgot to mention that they wanted to do this before Fargo, I guess. But John Goodman was doing Roseanne. So they put it off and they did ended up doing Fargo before it.
He was still quite big in this movie. It's weird because I went back and forth to like really getting annoyed by him, but also laughing at the same time. He felt like they call a Karen today, the way he's right, and that's all that matters if he's right. The way he talked to the woman in the diner, just terrible.
He's right about the toe too, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, they could put anybody's toe. You had the nail polish, man. He's like, they could put, you know, you can get a toe and
toe?
Put nail polish.
I can get
he's
your 100% toe.
Right. So but also, I don't know if you mentioned the soundtrack was great, right? The Dylan music to open it, the
oh,
Gypsy
I didn't even know that was
version of, yeah, that was Dylan. And the Gypsy Kings version of Hotel California.
Por el camino del desierto, el viento me despeina, suave aroma de colita.
Which just that part with the Jesus. This movie takes some shots at religion, you know. I think with the Jesus character being named the Jesus.
I see you roll your way into the semis. Dios mío, man. Liam and me, we're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Let me tell you something, Pandeo. You pull any of your crazy shit with us, you flash a piece out on the lanes, I'll take it away from you and stick it up your ass and pull the fucking trigger till it goes click.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Eight-year-olds, dude.
I'm doing all within my power just not to keep quoting the movie.
But I love it happened many times where Dude and Walter are having conversations and Donnie's just throwing these little things in there where he's misunderstanding or he's trying to clear things up. Like when he says, I'm the walrus,
right?
I'm the walrus. Like,
yes. Those... He says, you know, he says John Lennon, doesn't he?
It's like Lennon said, you look for the person who will benefit and,
I am the walrus.
You know, you know what I'm trying to say.
I am the walrus.
That fucking bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. V.I. Lenin. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Fucking exactly what happened. Makes me fucking sick.
Well, what do you care, Walter?
Those rich fucks. This whole fucking thing. I did not watch my buddies die face down in the muck so that this fucking strumpet, this
Walter,
fucking whore,
I don't see any
could
connection
waltz around
with Vietnam, man.
Well, there isn't literal connection.
No, Walter,
dude.
Face it, there isn't any connection.
Right, because so he talked about Lenin when he quoted Lenin.
I mean, he says, yeah.
And the other guy, he's like, Jesus, Vladimir's, you know, he said the whole name for Lenin.
Yeah. And
And then Donnie's just all that shit's going on, and all he cares, like, if he does, if he hits like a good roll bowling, he's all happy.
What a different character than Fargo. I don't know if you've seen that recently, which is a great movie. Kids love it. He's such an asshole. I know where he ends up.
Yeah,
he's very similar to his Reservoir Dogs character, where he just won't shut up, you know, just always talking and a criminal. But this, you know, he's so like easygoing,
so sweet.
Yeah. And it, you know, just like clueless. And yeah, he's like, well, you know, what happened to your rug, dude? He's just all nice, but, and just completely getting abused. But yeah. I also just, how many just different, you see Don Marrera. Did you see him? He was the limo driver.
I knew I recognized him. I didn't really know why.
Yeah, telling him the joke. That was funny. But then also the neighbor, that was funny. He's like, that performance art, can you give me some notes?
Right. And then later they cut to that. And I'm like, oh yeah, he said he was going to go and he went. But he also, that's also his landlord who he needed to give the rent to.
Exactly. And he didn't get it. You know, it's the 10th dude. It's the 10th dude. So, but I mean, how many great lines does the dude have? Do I look married? The seat's up.
Also, we were talking
about the fact that he's bowling with no socks on with bowling shoes.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah. Oh my God.
One of the all-time lines at the beginning,
the ultimate drifter. He is the ultimate drifter. He's disgusting.
He wrote a check for 69 cents.
after he tasted the cream.
Yeah.
You know, and he smelled it and tasted it, and he writes a check. But I love, you know, the great line. Obviously, you're not a bowler. I mean, obviously, you're not a golfer. When the guy's like, what the fuck is this? To the bowling ball.
That was, yeah, just wise ass.
But I love how he's such a deadbeat telling her, you know, she's like, tell me about yourself. You know, he's like, I'm one of the, you know, Seattle Seven or something. And then I was the roadie for Metallica.
In the Speed of Sound tour, which I looked it up. And that's not an actual tour, but someone made T-shirts the Speed of Sound tour because of another.
That's it. They were assholes. He says
that's great. Yeah, that's so funny.
And then he's like, "I'm unemployed," which his delivery of when the big Lebowski, Jeff Lebowski, is going. You know, he's like, "Do you go out like that on a weekday?
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?"
Wait. Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind.
Well, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
And he says, what day is it? He's like, he doesn't even finish his sentence. Yeah. He's like, and then he's like, no, man. No, yeah. It's just.
Dave was talking about Sam Elliott's awesome voice. The Big Lebowski, that guy's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Great. I'm like, he must have done character like voices, because it's just the voice was very familiar.
Was this one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's first movies?
No.
One of his first.
Boogie Nights was earlier than this, right? I don't, what was it?
I don't even know if it was.
I don't know Boogie Nights was before this. I don't think he's great.
Boogie Nights is 97. Yeah, it's before this.
Acting chops this kid has.
Oh yeah, this, okay. So it is the year before.
And I like,
but yeah, what about Twister? Yes. He's like, dude.
But he calls it like conversation. Like, you know, that's how it is, dude.
No, his
laughing is so funny.
Like, she's thinking I'll blow you. Like,
And then he's like,
he has to give $100 if he wants to watch.
It was the best.
Yeah. $100. $100 if Brand watches, he does the laugh. Yes. And you see the nihilist there, of course.
Once like, I saw him, mind? I said,
and he's like, she says, he's a nihilist. Man. He won't mind. Yes, he was in Fargo. She's like, he's a nihilist. He won't mind. And the dude looks at him and he says, "Yeah, it looks exhausting."
Hey, but the dude's like, "I want to go to where are we going? I want to go to the cash machine."
And yes. Yeah.
And Flea makes a little surprise experience.
Flea
is great.
Yeah, a little overacting, but
well, that's those characters were supposed to be over the top completely.
Yes, they were when they were all violent and that was Amy Mann. I don't know if you knew that, Mikey.
Okay, I know exactly who that is.
She had her toe cut off.
I was like, I wonder if that. I didn't even think to go look up who the actress was. That's hilarious.
It is funny. So.
I don't know who the other guy was. The blonde guy, anybody?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Audubon, right? They were the, they were in the group, right? They made an album.
Of course, they had a group an album. So
let me bang out the plot real quick.
Yeah, there was a is this David Thewlis? Is that his name? No, I knew him from. He was the guy with the little mustache, laughing with Julianne Moore.
Oh,
he's in Harry Potter movies, and he's in he was in like the Island of Dr. Moreau remake.
Oh, and I mean, we'll talk about our fun, but the Ben Gazzara, Jackie Treehorn, the dude thinking he has a clue when he sees him. When he sees
the
him
smart thing to do
down.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, he comes over like the private, the Seamus that he is, and he's like, what? The fact that he would doodle that. While I was on the phone and then shove it in his pocket. It's just one of the funniest
things. That was a lot. And I remember, I was like, it's some kind of dick. I remember something was coming, but even seeing it, I couldn't help but giggle.
Yep. It's so great. Let me tell you what this movie is about. So,
good luck.
Jeff the Dude Lebowski is attacked by two enforcers for our porn king, Jackie Treehorn, who thinks he's the husband of a woman who owes him money.
Dave. Did you recognize the blonde? The guy who beat up the dude at the beginning? Jacob from Lost.
Oh, that's
that's Jacob? Are you kidding me?
I thought that was him, to be honest.
Damn it. Why didn't you include me in that, Mike?
Chris, I forgot. You rewatched it. Yes.
Me and the kids watched it. Loved it. That's funny. I did not recognize him. Okay, so they pee in his rug and realize they have the wrong man.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the fucking money, shithead?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Don't fuck with us.
Your wife owes money to Jackie Treehorn. That means you owe money to Jackie Treehorn.
Ever thus the deadbeats, Lebowski.
No, don't do that. Not on the rug, man.
See what happens, Lebowski? You see what happens?
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski. Your wife is Bunny.
My wife, Bunny? Do you see a wedding ring on my finger? Does this place look like I'm fucking married? The toilet seat's up, man.
So dumb. The dude's buddy, Walter Sobchak, convinces him he is owed a rug by the rich husband with the same name. Like Dave said, this is what sets everything in motion. So he confronts him, ends up tricking Lebowski's assistant, Brent, to letting him take a rug. His wife, Bunny, is apparently kidnapped, and the dude is hired to deliver the ransom.
Is he just hired to make... Well, I mean, obviously we know why he's...
Yes, right. But
even that, even if it was real... I think he was hired just because he's expendable. Like, I hope, you know.
Yes.
I don't care if it works.
Oh,
out.
Yeah, no.
I,
well, we
just
find out.
A schlub.
Well, we find out that's right. True, yeah. That's the big Lebowski does not want him to find her, and that he's a schlub. But convinced to kidnap his fake, Walter goes with the dude and sends the supposed kidnapper a fake bag. They go bowling and leave a bag of money in the car, which is stolen. Lebowski confronts the dude and shows him the toe that was sent. Maude Lebowski, meanwhile, wants the dude to help her recover the money, which Lebowski has stolen from the foundation. So police find the car. It's great. No bag, but the dude finds a homework of Larry Sellers. Walter goes with him to get the money from Larry, which goes tremendously wrong.
Okay. Time for plan B.
You might want to watch out that front window, Larry. Son, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass! Language problem here. Little prick stonewalling me.
Walter! What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Here you go, Larry. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, Larry. This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass? This is what happens. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens, Larry? Do you see what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the ass? This is what happens, Larry. This is what happens when you fuck a stranger.
What the fuck are you doing, man? Stop it! Hey, man. I just bought that fucking car last week.
Whoa.
I'm gonna kill you. I just bought the fucking car last week.
Come on, man.
I'll kill your fucking car,
no,
man.
No, no, hey, you. That's not his head.
God damn it. Fuck you. No. You like that? Fuck you.
No.
I'll kill your fucking car, man.
Yeah, that's what you get when you fuck a stranger in the ass. So Jackie Treehorn has the dude taken to his house because he wants to know where the money is. Dude tells him Bunny faked the kidnapping and Larry has the money. This is before he passes out from getting a spiked drink and gets arrested by the Malibu police. Maude has sex with the dude to get pregnant, and the dude figures out then that Lebowski kept the money when Maude tells him he really isn't rich. So Walter and the dude confront Lebowski, and Walter pulls him out of the wheelchair, discovering that part is real. Back at the bowling alley, the nihilists set fire to the dude's car and demand the money. During the melee, where Walter is fighting them, Donnie has a heart attack and dies. They scatter his ashes from a cliff, although they, you know, blow back onto the dude. At the alley, the dude sees the stranger, who sums up everything in the movie.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. It's good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners. Shush. I sure hope he makes the finals. Well, that about does her. Wraps her all up. Things seem to have worked out pretty good for the dude and Walter. And it was a pretty good story, don't you think? Made me laugh to beat the band. Parts, anyway. I didn't like seeing Donnie go. But then I happen to know that there's a little Lebowski on the way. I guess that's the way the whole darn human comedy keeps perpetuating itself. Down through the generations. Westward the wagons. Across the sands of time until we... Oh, look at me. I'm rambling again. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail. Say, friend, get any more of that good sarsaparilla?
You have a great, great ending of
They just go bowling.
Stone Song.
Oh,
yep.
I want a
movie about bowling. I love the opening credits with you just see a bunch of schlubs bowling.
Athletes. You see a bunch of athletes.
Professional athletes.
That's right.
Dave, what is your funniest or what is your favorite part?
I actually like the when he gets drugged and he goes into that, like...
Oh, you like the porn? The gutter balls?
Oh my God, so great. That's a great scene.
Dave, thoughts in general on Julianne Moore?
I thought she was cute.
What about okay. Tara Reid?
Tara Reid's never done anything for me. Like, to see her look, she's just, I don't know. She looks grimy. What do you guys
this
think?
Before, this
what
was,
are we going to do with this, Mike?
Pre-shock. I know. This is not what I was expecting. You did see Julianne Moore. You saw more of Julianne Moore than you saw of Tara Reid, if you know what yep. I mean.
Well, what about the girls, Jackie Treehorn and Jackie Treehorn's place? They're playing that game where they throw the girls in the air.
Yeah,
how about
good.
That girl?
Those girls, yeah, they're hot.
David Hot Alert. Repeat. This is a David Hot Alert. This is not a test.
No. Oh, okay, thank you. Whew. Whew. I thought there's three chances.
I
was
forgot
really...
about that part. Yeah.
But no,
so,
that
Mike...
sequence. The ending scene with Walter and the dude on the bluff, just hysterical. Just because yes. Walter's doing this like really heart and gay, like you know he's like.
Well, is it heartfelt, Dave?
He's going to Vietnam.
Because he talks. It's really a tribute to the Vietnam
his,
boys that didn't make it home.
Way, yeah, in his own way, it was heartfelt, right?
Donnie was a good bowler and a good man. He was one of us. He was a man who loved the outdoors and bowling. And as a surfer, he explored the beaches of Southern California from La Jolla to Leo Carrillo and up to Pismo. He died as so many young men of his generation before his time. In your wisdom, Lord, you took him. As you took so many bright, flowering young men at Quezon, at Londoc, at Hill 364. These young men gave their lives. So did Donnie. Donnie, who loved bowling. And so, Theodore Donald Karabatsos, in accordance with what we think your dying wishes might well have been, we commit your final mortal remains to the bosom of the Pacific Ocean, which you love so well. Good night, sweet prince.
And then just looking at Walt and then looking at the dude in the back, just like, basically like, what the fuck are you doing?
He gets mad at him after the fact, you know, besides the ashes. He says, what the fuck were you talking about, man? You were talking about...
As he's spreading the can of Folger's ashes.
Yes, they didn't. They weren't buying the urn, yeah. Right?
Just see it going on the dude's face, and
he doesn't move.
I love it. I love that scene.
He doesn't move. He didn't want to, you know, disrupt the ceremony.
But to your point, there's so many scenes in this movie. Like, you can go on and on and on about this movie because like every single scene.
Every scene. There are no. Like, you know, so it's funny because the kids and I told you they loved Fargo, but there's the one scene. I don't know if you guys remember. We may do Fargo someday, but the one scene where Marge Gunderson, the cop, I don't know when the last time you guys, but she sees someone. She went an Asian fella.
No, I quote that all the time. I say that to Tammy. You're a super lady. She's a super no. Isn't that like? Oh, is that guy? Because oh, you're just
yes,
a super lady.
That's what
yes.
he says. You're a super lady. Yes,
I say
that's
that.
So
Tammy.
It's quotable. But does that yes. scene have any significance?
No, I think he's just right. Wasn't it just they met?
They met, but it right. It doesn't. Not only that, but it was like it doesn't do anything as far as right. Never mind exposition, but like
it has nothing to do with the movie.
Even,
it's just a quick little.
It really does. Right. He does say, yeah, you're a super lady. I've been quoting, just talking about those people all the time. Kids and I are watching the show this season, Fargo. I don't know if you guys watch it. Good
I
stuff.
Have not watched it since season two. I got to go back and just.
Two is the best, too. And I'm surprised.
Two was great. I saw it. Yeah. I didn't see the Ewan McGregor twins season.
Real quick, I'm going to go back to the scene with the Mormon, whatever that little rodent.
Oh, yes.
That scene.
He threw him in the tub. And his reaction of that. Oh, I remember the scene where I laughed out loud. It's just because it's physical comedy when he drops the joint and he crashes the car. It just the car turns and smashes right into a dumpster. I know that
I
got
think
me.
It reminded me. So it's funny because it was the early 90s. He was smoking a J, and it reminded me of the time Somebody else. I know was with Patrick McAfee.
Whoa. And someone else, you with someone named something.
Yeah, there's a million Patrick McAfee.
That's true.
So,
especially in this area.
In traffic on the way to UMass, maybe to visit John when he was 29. this person was in traffic and had a beer in one hand, a gin and tonic in between their legs, and they was took a hit of a doobie. And they were driving a standard. And they looked over and said, "Am I doing anything illegal?" That reminded me of although the dude had a couple things needed added on. But yeah, the dude, it just cracked me up. I'm like, it was a simpler time, right? He just crashes his car, and but yeah, he cracked me up when he screamed too. What was your favorite part, Mikey?
Oh my God, I can't even pick one. I think it's just the quick interactions between the three of them. Those are my favorite moments.
Right. And which we haven't mentioned, this one of the parts where he initially convinces him when Walter says, when he says the Chinaman pissed on my rug.
So what the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about? The Chinaman is not the issue here, dude. I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand, dude. Across this line, you do not.
Also, dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
Walter, this isn't a guy who built the railroads here. This is a guy.
What the fuck are you,
Walter? He peed on my rug.
He peed on the dude's rug.
Donnie, you're out of your element, dude. The Chinaman is not the issue here.
Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature.
Right. Asian American.
Yeah. And he says, Asian American, please, or something
like
that.
Like he has, his rules.
And then the dude says, he wasn't building a railroad. It was like, what the fuck?
He was.
Because he said China.
And then one thing, like for years, the line, or the, like there's been shirts, there's been posters, the dude abides. I thought that would be used a lot more. Like that was his saying.
Yeah.
And he says it only once at the end to the stranger.
So yes, there's that Walter part, and the other Walter part I love, besides my favorite might be the Shomer Shabbos. When I can't turn on an oven. When he's like, "What's that, Walter?" Donnie's asking him, because he converted. He's a converted Jew from his ex-wife. He does everything from his ex-wife.
I do love.
And how about when he takes out the gun?
Oh, he takes out the gun.
He's
that
so
was
friendly.
Like...
He's so friendly to Smokey, over the line Smokey. And he's talking, and then he yells over the line, and then he's like, "Nope, sorry, Smokey, it's a league game. It's a league game, Smokey."
Smokey, this is not Nam. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over. Give me the marker, dude. I'm marking an 8.
Smokey, my friend, you're entering a world of pain.
Walter, man.
You mark that frame an 8, you're entering a world of pain.
I'm not.
A world of pain.
Look, dude, this is your partner.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Mark at 0.
They're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
Mark at 0.
Walter, put the piece away.
Walter?
You think I'm fucking around here? Mark at 0.
All right, it's fucking 0. You happy, you crazy fuck?
The league game, Smoke.
Then he pulls out the
car. To the extreme. I love when they're talking in the car nonchalant. You see the cops running into the bowling alley behind them. That was great.
Yeah, and then you see hear the phone calls.
But so Walter's all this talk, a lot of talk. And then at the end with the nihilists, he goes nuts on him and rips the guy's ear off, throws the ball. He backs up
Mike
all
Tyson.
His talk.
Well, I mean, it'll be Mike Tyson. Right. He pulls
like
Mike Tyson.
He just, he shows.
Oh, yeah, Walter, right. Besides,
he's not, you know, full of shit.
He's right. He's a bumbling idiot sometimes, like when he rolls out of the car and his gun rolls.
The Uzi. When he brought the Uzi.
Yeah. And then they right, they the guys get the fake bag and they, you know, the gun shoots the tire, and that's when Welt is like, let's just go bowling, right? But I don't you love how the dude, so there's, you know, the Gypsy King singing Hotel California ties into the dude hating the Eagles. You know, he loves his CCR, and they mentioned a couple of CCR songs. Yeah, and the cop was even like, "We got your CCR or something." And then, the dude can't sit in a cab with the Eagles.
The guy the guy gets so insulted, he kicks him out.
Yes, that guy, you know, an Eagles fan, a big Eagles fan, apparently. So another great line I have written down when Walter's like talking about, you can't have a contained animal in a wild animal. He starts going off. Remember about the marmot?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
After that part. And you go, oh, yeah, they want to cut off his Johnson. You Johnson? But the dude says, what are you, a fucking park? What are you, a fucking park ranger?
Well, the fact that he's sitting in his tub and he's just relaxing.
Hello. Yes. He's like, the people break in. He's like, hello.
This is a residence. Like, he's already got his house broken into many times. And he's like, so great. But he still doesn't seem to think that someone's just walking in his house. Just all time movie.
It really is an all time movie. I wish I, you know.
So rewatchable.
Yeah.
Like you could take it now and just.
Yeah, now. I've lost so much time.
You have, but, you know, as long as you live a long and fruitful life.
That's one of the wonderful things.
Drinking Caucasians.
Yeah. That's the wonderful thing about this podcast is it does force me or allow me to watch old movies that I just hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like real old movies. In fact,
you have the time. You have nothing
to be done.
I don't use the time. I don't use the time, but this forces me to use the time. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, next time, I think we're all kind of complete here talking.
I could talk about this for hours, but yeah, I think we pretty much, besides quoting the movie, I just love the vibe.
Endlessly. Yeah.
I love the vibe. Crazy,
that's a good way to put it.
Yep. The vibe and the character, two all-time characters, probably two of the best movie characters, and, you know, and Coen brothers have so many great characters.
They really do.
Which, by the way, I was telling, I think Dave would love Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, you've been pushing that for quite some time. Watch that someday.
Yep.
But speaking of two characters, next time on Fine Movies, Fine Spirits, we'll be going back to 1969.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling.
Which actually is a connect. There's a connection here between these two movies, as the man who played the stranger, Mr. Sam Elliott, is in this movie that we'll be doing, because next time,
Roadhouse,
we're going back to see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
And you've never seen it.
And I've never seen it. And I just Googled it to find the year,
you
and that's where I saw
it. Seen it. I assume. Yet.
Guess whose wife in that movie.
What's that, Dave?
Isn't Sam Elliott's wife in this movie?
In this movie? I don't know. Yes, he is.
He's married to Catherine Ross.
From The Graduate, right?
That's who that is.
We'll talk about it.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. We will talk about it. I'm excited because Ted Cassidy's in this movie. That's what's pulling me in. I don't know who this Paul Newman or Robert Redford is, but goddamn Lurch is in this movie, so I'm excited.
Bit players.
That's I assumed. I assumed that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid were the two major characters in this next movie, just based on the title.
Just by title.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking forward
same
to seeing
same thing as the Big Lebowski. You know how
right. Well, Jeff was Lebowski he though? Was, or was he?
Right. I think, I don't think, I think it was the big
sleep, the big, yeah.
The big
I get
sleep,
it.
The Big
that,
Lebowski.
That makes sense. So until then, everybody, you can find us on Twitter at @fine_fine_movies, on Instagram at @fine_movies_fine_spirits. You can go to Fans Not Experts on YouTube, because every episode of this podcast is available on YouTube, except for the ones that Warner Brothers is blocking. But I'm trying, I'm putting up a fight.
Ooh.
I'm fighting the man to try to get this.
Aggression will not stand, man.
That's right. It's, I said, it's all for the love of the movie, man. So, Christopher, are there any final words from you?
Nope. I am just going to watch this movie again. I like to do that.
Kind of put a closing.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah. David, are there any parting words from you?
No, I need to get into a tub. I'm exhausted.
You need to get into a tub. You need to do the pod from a tub. Oh,
I had something to say.
I hope you feel better, David. and I'm gonna put out there now. 2024 is gonna be the best year for Fine Movies, Fine Spirits yet.
Wow, that's a tall order. I mean, we're gonna have to throw in a big guns that we've been waiting for, like Godfather 2 and Pulp Fiction and whatnot.
And Better Off Dead. All at the end of the, all the big ones, the all the big heavy hitters.
Probably by the end of the year, Better Off Dead. But what was I going to say to you, Michael? I was just going to tell you to keep drinking. I will do it.
I'll do my best. All right, David. Say goodbye,
God
David.
Damn it.
Bye.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking. And we feel fine.
Was there anything else you wanted to?
No, shut up.
Not you, dickhead.
He's gonna add it to the end.
That's right there, the perfect end. No, shut up.
Fans Not Experts.